step on the line. Don't step on the line.
Little boy.
Huh?
Where are you going?
School.
What's that song?
It's a going to school song. I made it up.
I don't like it. Don't ever sing it again.
Go away. Don't touch me.
Yes, yes, I will touch you. And you won't walk again.
Go away. Don't bother me.
Stop. Don't move.
Let me go. Let me go, please.
Now sing. Now whistle. Now walk. Go ahead.
I can't.
I know you can't. I've crippled you. I'm the crippler.
Ten years ago today, January 3rd, 1938, an organization was founded to combat a real and living menace. A criminal who may attack the happiness and lives of anyone's children, including yours. Here is the story of that menace and the organization founded to track this arch criminal down. A criminal nobody has seen or caught or controlled. A criminal called the Crippler. And here to play the role is the distinguished star of stage and screen, Raymond Massey.
I'm the Crippler. And you just saw what I did to that singing child. He won't skip to school again. Children don't. At least, many of them don't. After I reach out and touch them, and nobody knows how I do it. Nobody has ever seen me. Nobody can stop me from going wherever I want and doing whatever I want to children's legs and arms and backs. All I have to do is reach out, like this. And when I touch a child, there is pain, there is suffering, but wait. I'll show you what I do. And mind you, I can do it anywhere, anytime, to anybody, without hindrance. Well, almost without hindrance. Lately, there's been some interfering with my work, but more about that later. You know, I like summertime the best and children the most. So, let's see, where is my calendar? Ah, yes. June. June 1941. One of my craftiest times. It was wait, I'll roll down my map. Here, right here in Cook County, Illinois. Yes, I remember that time very well, and so do a lot of parents. Yes, it was a perfect setting for my work. It was hot, late afternoon, toward the last days of school. Plenty of children to choose from. I looked the town over very carefully until I found the ones I wanted. They'd set up a lemonade stand.
Lemonade, mister, 5 cents a glass. Golly, sis, business is getting awful. Maybe the lemonade's too expensive.
Maybe because it's getting too close to supper.
You think so?
Sure. All the kids in the neighborhood had some already. Grown-ups are too anxious to get home. I guess we better close up the stand for today.
Okay.
I perked up my ears when I heard that all the children in the neighborhood had had some of that lemonade. That was exactly what I wanted, so... I reached out and touched the little boy. Then I heard... They packed up their little business enterprise and went home, and I followed them to find out where they lived. I waited around a few days, and you know what pleased me most? This.
Lemonade, ice cold lemonade, 5 cents a glass.
That pleased me. They kept their stand open, and other children drank their lemonade. Then one evening, a few days after I'd touched Walter, I was hiding in the dark shadows under the living room window. I was a little uncertain, you see. Some things had happened that made me wonder whether I was losing my touch. But this is what I heard in the room.
You see, Mrs. White, the diagnosis is inescapable. Every symptom bears it out. The boy's loss of appetite.
Hook, could it have been something he ate?
No. Sore throat, the nausea, the way he trembled.
Yes.
Well, in view of all that, I must be perfectly honest with you. My diagnosis is poliomyelitis, infantile paralysis.
You see, that's who I am. Infantile paralysis, the crippler.
The ambulance should be here soon. But I must tell you, there isn't much we can do. There isn't much we know. Now, I want to look at the little girl, your daughter.
Dorothy, but she's all right.
Yes, but this is the fourth call of this kind I've had on this block. And there are 11 other cases in the neighborhood. So...
an epidemic.
We're afraid so. Where is the little girl?
That was all I needed to hear. 11 cases. And Walter and Dorothy, too. I had done a good job. I found that out at the hospital.
Might have been transmitted through the lemonade stand or through contact with the boy. The boy handled the glass.
Yes, and some adults drank it. They might have carried it home.
Or a fly might have contaminated the lip of the pitcher.
Or the boy might have sneezed as he poured out a glass.
Let's admit it, nurse. Might have been anything. How is the boy?
Bad.
The girl?
Worse.
Good. It might have been anything, the doctor said, and he was so right. He didn't know. No one does, for though they know a lot of maybes where I'm concerned, they haven't got a single certainty. And yet they're always trying. They call themselves the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. They are hunting for me, trying to find out what I am so they can put an end to me. They have theories. Are they on the right track with their theories? I'm not sure myself. I was very proud of myself that summer in 1941. I even got myself an adding machine to keep track of my success and used it, too, because, as I said, I'd begun to doubt myself. Oh, yes, I used it.
Final record, 15 cases. Paralysis, 7 cases.
7 out of 15 children, twisted and crippled. Very good.
Recovery, 6 cases.
6 recovered. I wonder...
death, 2 cases. 1 child and 1 adult. Father of another case.
And 1 adult. I really fooled them there. Why, everyone thinks I just go after children. And there, I killed a grown-up. That's why I'm such a clever fellow. I always puzzle everybody who's trying to capture me. All I ever leave is the evidence of my crimes. Twisted children, empty chairs, rows of full hospital beds. If they insist on continuing their search for me, I just keep them guessing. I remember this case, one of my best.
1, 2, 3, a Larry, I spy a little...
And 48 hours later...
All right, honey. Count, fast as you can.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
All right, dear, lie down. Respiratory paralysis.
That's one form I take. Another, this case...
I'm
48 hours later.
All right, son. Now try to put your head down between your knees.
Like this?
Mm-hmm. Can you get it down a little farther?
No. Only to here. Then... oh.
And can you touch your chest with your chin?
I think so.
No, son. Don't drop your jaw to your chest. Keep your jaw closed as you touch your chest with your chin. Try it.
I can't.
All right, son. Paralytic polio.
You see? That's another shape I take. But all I let them know is the what, not the how. Neither how I clutch chest or leg or arm, nor how to make me let go once I've clutched. Let them hunt. Let them work. I'll just be more clever.
Oh, no. I keep my daughter on a good vitamin diet. She's so healthy she can't get sick.
And along I come. The way I did in Lauderdale, Alabama, last year.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please. Please, you've got to be quiet now. It is my great pleasure, please, to announce the winner of the County Healthy Child Contest. We, the judges of this fair, have chosen this lovely young lady. How old are you, honey?
15, sir.
This lovely 15-year-old little lady, we judge the healthiest girl in the county, Miss Janet Gentle.
But while she was getting a cup, I was home giving her little sister my touch. So...
Oh, look, Daddy, look at the beautiful present, isn't it? What's the matter, Daddy? Aren't you happy I won the prize?
Mighty happy, daughter. Thing is, I got something to tell you.
Yes, Daddy.
They just took Sis to the hospital. Mother's there now.
Oh, gee, let's go visit her. I want to steal my prize. What's the matter, Daddy?
Don't rightly know yet. Can't tell for sure.
But I can go see her, can't I?
Well, nobody told me yes and nobody told me no. But if the healthiest gal in the county can't, why, who can? Come on, gal.
But when the healthiest girl in the county got to the hospital, she slipped and fell. And she just couldn't get up. Why? Because I had touched her, too, 3 days before. And 24 hours after she was called the county's healthiest girl.
Yes. Janet Gentle, 15. Complete respiratory paralysis.
You see? Healthy or sick, I can still touch them.
Get another iron lung first.
Iron lungs, hot packs, therapy pools. They're too easy to get these days. Why can't I fool the people as I used to? Why can't they say as they used to say?
Ah, the country. That's the place to bring up a child. No contagion there.
So I turned up in a tiny, tiny town in the clear mountain air of North Carolina, in the foothills of the Blue Ridges, and reached out. This was my score. 344 children with my shadow on them. 12 dead, 102 crippled, and 51 crippled for the rest of their lives. Kenneth was only 7 months old. I twisted his back and his legs. Judy was 3. I wrenched her neck and bent her arm. Jerry was just learning to walk, so I shrunk his legs. What a job I did in Hickory, North Carolina, back in 1944. But what a job the people did, too. I could have done so much better if they hadn't all got together with this National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis and battled with me. Then and there, I determined to even the score. The very next year, 1946, I got out my adding machine and I went to work. Los Angeles, Chicago, Denver, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Florence, Alabama. 25,191 plus. Not bad for 1946 alone. And when you figure that I leave a lot of helpless ones to be taken care of for a long time after I touch them, it runs into a wonderful figure for me. I'm pretty terrific at my job. And it isn't everyone that can make iron braces and crutches grow where only straight young legs and arms grew before. But I have to be sure of myself. I have to keep checking up to see how much closer these National Foundation people are getting to finding out about me. I have to keep revisiting places I have been to keep tabs. So let's look in on the hospital in Hickory, North Carolina. Remember?
Kelsey!
I'm hiding. Here I am.
Kelsey, you get up off that floor and come over here. It's time for your exercises.
Exercises? Why, I thought I'd gripped his throat so hard.
Now. With ah.
Okay.
Ah. Let's go down with E.
Yep.
E.
Let's try O's.
Hey, can't I sing a song, huh?
No, not yet, Kelsey. Just R's and E's and O's.
Oh, why not?
Because during your convalescent care, we have to strengthen your throat muscles. Now, up with O.
Oh.
See what's going on? They're undoing the damage I do. That National Foundation and its people and their march of dimes. I'd better keep checking. I wonder how that girl in Chicago is getting along. I really twisted her. Just as I thought. Still in the iron lung.
Comfortable, honey?
Oh, yes. Very.
It's about time for you to come out, you know. I'll get your bathrobe.
Watch this. She'll beg not to be taken out. She'll be so frightened she won't be able to breathe. Watch.
Gee, it's good to get out. Golly, I never thought I'd ever say that.
A little less each week. Someday,
home.
Now, where did she get all that courage and hope?
And my findings in this biochemical study of the effects of certain experiments with the phosphorus groupings upon the virus of poliomyelitis, while negative, nevertheless indicate a considerable area for further research.
Research. They're digging. Scientists and students are getting after my secrets. And who's been paying for it all? How have they... What's that? Dance music? What's been going on here? Why, that girl looks like the college student I caught once. Why, it is. Dancing.
Hey, you know, for a med student, you're a pretty good dancer.
Oh, but I'm not really a med student. I just have a fellowship in physical therapy.
No, I'm a pre-med myself. What's your specialty?
Polio.
That's me.
I'm especially interested in it. So when the National Foundation announced study fellowships at this school, I went for one and got it.
From the foundation?
Mm-hmm. You see, I had polio, and they helped me. So I'm going to learn to help them. Look, thanks to the National Foundation, I'm dancing.
It isn't enough for the National Foundation to put her back on her feet. They are training her to undo all my work. Well, at least there's one thing the Foundation can't undo, and that's the fear of being a hopeless cripple. Sure, they're learning more and more about me and training more and more people to track me down, but fear. Fear. That I'm still the master of. Hopeless fear. Down in Georgia is where I left some really hopeless ones. So I'll just check up down there.
All right, Peter. Don't be afraid now. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Good. Now, first put this one under this arm. Then this one under the other.
That's what I like. Children on crutches.
Like this?
No, dear, no. Rest your weight on your hands, not your armpits.
This way?
That's it. Now rest a while that way.
Then fall and break your thin legs.
I'm ready, nurse.
Good. Now, first put the right crutch forward, like this. Now the left foot. Careful. Good boy. Now the left crutch. And the right foot.
Why... It's easy. Just sort of zig and zag.
That's right. Now, do you think you can do it alone, or are you tired?
Of course he can't do it alone. I crippled him. The crippler. He'll never walk.
I'll try. I did it.
Yes, Peter, you did it.
And now rest.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, where did he get the courage to do that? Why I killed those legs?
Nurse.
Yes, Peter.
You know why I could do it for the first time? You know why?
Why, Peter?
I kept looking up at his picture on the wall. And I said, if he could do it, then I could do it. Maybe I won't be president like him, but I'll walk. Someday I'll walk.
Let's check up here. What's the foundation been doing to me in the last 10 years? Research, hospitalization, paying the expenses of treatment and care, changes in treatment, and the banishment of panic. They're catching up with me. Well, I'm still the crippler I used to be, stronger than ever. Still the twister, the torturer, the agonizer, the killer. And they haven't stopped me. I can still reach out to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Yes, even to you. As a matter of fact, I think that's exactly what I'll do. You think just because it's winter I can't? Well, I'm beginning to turn up in the winter months. You think just because you're grown up I can't touch you? Well, my victims are getting older each year. You think science is working on a cure for me? It may be a long time before they find it, if they ever do. So I think I'll just reach out and cripple you. What's that?
A dime.
Who are you?
The National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis.
What's the dime for?
For the March of Dimes. We, the National Foundation, will use that dime to track you down, to fight you, to help those you've crippled.
Dimes. A lot of good they do.
A lot of good they do.
Do you know who you're threatening with dimes? I'm the crippler.
So?
I'll show you. 11,000 cases last year. 25,000 the year before.
I'll show you. $15 million spent taking care of those 25,000 cases to combat your crippling.
But just the same, in the last 10 years, my victims have increased in number, going up, going up, going up.
In those same 10 years, we've spent $13 million for research and education to track you down.
But out of every 100 I touch, 20 are paralyzed, and on 22 I leave my mark, and 8 will die.
Yes, but today of those you do touch, more live, and to everyone you have crippled, help can be given. This is the work of the local chapters of the National Foundation. They have half of all the money they raise to use right at home to fight you.
Fight me? I admit you're catching up to me, but you have to admit you really don't know anything about me yet. No cure, no prevention, no knowledge of how I spread, how I strike, how to determine exactly what I am and how to kill me. You know you haven't got me licked.
Listen to me. In 1938, there was very little research on your trail. By now, we've started 540 research and education grants. Today, the National Foundation is carrying on the most intensive and comprehensive attack on a single disease ever launched by a private agency anywhere in the world. In 1938, the people you caught sometimes weren't even known to have polio until they were crippled. Now, every known case of polio is hospitalized, and more of your victims walk out of hospitals. In 1938, many hospitals refused to admit polio patients. Now there are 717 polio units today. Hospitals used to be understaffed, couldn't give early adequate care. Today we have trained 1,500 skilled workers and equipped many units in hospitals. And one thing more. The average family couldn't afford to pay for the damage you caused. Now, anybody, no matter what his race, creed, or color, young or old, can have all the care he needs, regardless of cost. We will spend a dollar, and we've spent as much as $24,000 on one case because she needed it. And we're spending millions. Millions on study in 66 institutions coming closer to you. Closer. We've got everybody on your trail. Chemists, physicists, physiologists, nutritionists, anatomists.
Please, don't pay any attention to him. Listen to me. Help me. I'll make a confession. I'm worried. They are getting closer, closer and closer all the time. The stronger I get, and I am getting stronger, the more you give them and the more traps they set out to catch me, the harder it is for me to do my crippling work. Please help me. Don't give to the March of Dimes. The National Foundation will use it to fight me. Help me by not giving. Don't give them a cent. It will pay for a postcard to call a meeting against me. Or a nickel, which will pay for a phone call to a chapter for help. Or a dime. That pays for a pamphlet to educate people against me. Or a quarter to pay for a hot pack to relieve the torture I work so hard to apply. Don't give dollars by fives or ten or twenties or hundreds. They will pay for research, for respirators, for reassurance, for hospitals, help and hope against me. Don't give the foundation anything. You'll put me out of a job. You'll cripple me, the crippler.
That is exactly what we will, we shall do. With the help of the American people, we shall cripple you, the crippler.
This is Raymond Massey. I've just finished the most unpleasant role I've ever played. However, I was eager to take the part of the crippler with the hope I might help force home to you the ever-present menace of infantile paralysis. Today is the 10th anniversary of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, which has done such wonderful work in the short 10 years of its existence. Much has been done, but much more remains to be done. The National Foundation needs your help. They have pledged themselves to carry on the battle against polio, to see that every victim of the crippler receives adequate care, regardless of age, or church, or the color of skin, and regardless of cost. They have also promised to continue this fight until polio is banished from the earth. That is their pledge. That is their promise. But they need your support. And when they ask for it between January the 15th and January the 30th, give it. Without it, they are helpless. They have pledged. They have promised. They will fight. Will you?
You have been listening to a special program presented by the National Foundation in cooperation with the Columbia Broadcasting System on this, the 10th anniversary of the beginning of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. Tonight's script was written by Alan E. Sloan. The original score was conducted by Harry Salter. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.